I'm Christopher Lydon. This is Open Source from the Watson Institute at Brown University, an American conversation, we call it, with global attitude about could be anything. This one is a change of pace. It's a gathering up of music and talk over the years as a gesture of thanks to the jazz piano giant Dave McKenna, who died toward the end of 2008. It's also a thank you to the digital tricks of our time that preserve much more even than we remembered. At Dave McKenna's memorial service in his hometown of Woonsocket, Rhode Island, just before Christmas, people from Chicago, then Pittsburgh, and New York came up and said to me, "Chris Lydon, I cherish a CD recording of Dave playing a piano party at your house in Boston. I couldn't forget that party 20-some years ago, but I wouldn't have known where to find the sound of it." Yet McKenna fans had it all in very good shape, and it's the first of three things you'll hear if you keep listening. Dave, at my German grand piano, playing of a Saturday afternoon for his friends and mine. Starting with an Irish folk song for my mother, then a Puccini aria, which turned into the jazz standard Tangerine, and then Dave favorites like Blame It on My Youth, the Oscar Levant tune, and My Ship, the Kurt Weill classic. Chapter two, so to speak, is from a radio show Dave and I did in the 1990s, a conversation about pianists who shaped him, his mother, and Nat King Cole above all. Also about Dave's signature medleys of tunes with luck or time or colors of the rainbow in their titles. And then chapter three, so to speak, is another rarity that just turned up, like six Picasso drawings of the same woman. It is Dave playing six of his own versions of Leonard Bernstein's show tune, Lucky to Be Me, which he had recorded for me on my piano as theme music for a television show. First, the piano party, which begins at my request with the Londonderry air, most famous to the words of Danny Boy, and then the Puccini tune from the opera Turandot, Nessun Dorma.
Thank you. we're at Chris Lydon's wonderful Beacon Hill pad, listening to the piano artistry of Dave McKenna. Dave, how do you like the piano? Do you give it five stars?
The piano is superb. It's well worth whatever Chris meant for this. I happen to know what he's meant, too.
Chris, we're fortunate to have Dave here. Dave is going to New York for 4 weeks at Hanratty's. Where is that, Dave?
91st and 2nd Avenue.
Comfortable place for you?
It's a good bar room. Just an honest bar room. Kind of place I like.
Dave, would you play a little more for us? And everybody here would like to hear you play.
Yeah, well, I'm running out of... Can I have a sip of wine then?
We have many requests. Chris, would you come over here for a minute and just get in?
Chris, play something.
Dave, you played a lot of different pianos. I know you played a piano that you didn't enjoy that much, one at Betty's Rolls Royce. It didn't have any pedals on it.
Without cursing, now what can you say about that piano?
But you play. He amazingly enough, he played it beautifully. He made it sound good without the pedals.
Had to play.
You made allowances.
Had to play my. That's what I've been playing now, but a little richer chords. Anyway, at Betty's, you could only do that.
Yeah. Play some more for us, Dave. We all want to hear you.
Deep Purple is a request.
You want to hear for Robert J. Lutzman, Deep Purple?
Mm-hmm.
Did you play that?
Thank you. Thank you.
a Jerome Kern tune, but I forgot what the other one.
Dave McKenna called himself a saloon pianist, but nobody else did. The genius Art Tatum heard in Dave a sort of successor. Miles Davis's great collaborator Bill Evans found in Dave McKenna the only pianist who could teach him. Whitney Balliot in the New Yorker magazine called Dave the hardest swinger among all the jazz piano giants. George Shearing called Dave simply the best. In everything Dave played, you heard a song line, then a left-hand bass line that might be singing or dancing or thundering on its own, and then in the crisscrossing of what sounded like 40 fingers, you could think you were hearing an ensemble like the Basie or Ellington Band. You also heard a complete master of the American songbook in the hands of a man rather like Frank Sinatra, who respected the songs as written and at the same time made them his own. In the golden age of Dave McKenna, he played six nights a week under the grand arched ceiling of the giant bar at the Copley Plaza Hotel in Boston. And everybody came to listen. The New York Philharmonic conductor Kurt Mazur when he was guest conducting the Boston Symphony, or Tip O'Neill when he was Speaker of the House in the Reagan years, plus gangsters and cops and the actress Faye Dunaway and stray jazz stars like Zoot Sims and Ruby Braff, who would sit in with Dave. Dave played often to the clink of drinks, but then always a hush would descend as he started to string tunes together.
The medley game is one part of any Dave McKenna evening. You'll actually see people at the bar writing down song titles and connecting the dots. In this case, a Leonard Bernstein song for Broadway called Lucky to Be Me was the start of a lucky medley.
Did you still like this tune, did you?
Lucky to Be Me in the Lucky medley led to Henry Mancini's Mr. Lucky and then to a Benny Goodman favorite, This Is My Lucky Day. What's it like to play in the hotel night after night, and particularly for people of all ages, some people who know that songbook, some people who are learning it, and some who are listening, some who aren't?
It's no different from any other solo piano game, except concerts are different because people do listen more intently. But the company is not that much. The difference is that I spent so big chunk of time there in the 80s. You know, I was almost the whole decade I was the house piano player. It's great because my commute was going up in the elevator in my room. You know, that's, you can't
beat
it.
Great nights. I remember Tim Mayer, the playwright, one night. He said it was like Mozart in Prague. I mean, just sort of sitting there hour after hour, improvising $1 million worth of music, disappearing on the air of a big sort of railroad hotel bar. Those were great evenings.
Some nights I played better than others, I'm sure, but some nights a song that you haven't played for a while will get you into it and you get more intense, maybe. And, you know, the way I used to play was less pianistic, I think. And even when I started playing solo, I played a bass line and a single note here. I was maybe trying to play like a combination of Prez and Bird, maybe a little bit. Or Johnny Hodges, who I loved, you know, play. The solo he played on Sunny Side of the Street, I think. I used to play that note for the way he inflected those notes.
But there would be crazy, intense moments. Suddenly, around midnight in the Copley Plaza, things would get very deep. I remember Zoot Sims playing with you one night. Dick Johnson's played with you. Ruby Braff has played with you. People would turn up with a horn or want to sing. Or you'd just be on your own, and it would suddenly get, you know, people would start looking around and say, wait a sec, this is important. And there were wonderful times. Does it bother you to have people talking or not?
No, because I grew up with it. When we grew up, we played little combos mostly, and it wasn't a lot of big bands, for people to dance and talk and drink and eat and whatever. If I can hear myself, as long as I keep it down to a quiet roar, man, I'm happy. You know? In fact, I like it better sometimes in the concert situation where, you know, oh, gee, they're listening like mad. You got to watch it. Don't take too many chances. But there's something about playing a club that has its advantages, too. You play easier, and I like playing. If I know the tunes people request, that's fine with me. If I know them, I'll play them.
For this Thanksgiving connection, we asked the amazing Dave McKenna over to my house and my piano in Boston, about 10 blocks from the Copley Plaza. He had mentioned Johnny Hodges, the alto saxophone master, who grew up just across the tracks from the Copley Plaza. I asked him to play one of those great Johnny Hodges star turns with the Ellington Orchestra. This is Duke Ellington's tune, In a Sentimental Mood. Tuned into Dave McKenna late. Who are the musicians that formed you, do you think? And your sound, your taste, your ambition?
Well, at first I just listened to the radio. I heard my mother playing songs. Great classical musician. She was a good violin player. But she used to play nice piano, too. And she's, in many ways, being an all-around musician. She was twice a musician I am, because she could read. She played for singing teachers and violin teachers accompanying people. But when she played at home, she very seldom played the violin. She played pop tunes of the day just with a very nice, tasty touch. I wouldn't call her a jazz player, but she played all the right chords. And I used to hear her play songs like Smoke Gets in Your Eyes, Stormy Weather. I grew up hearing those tunes. I just started to play them. But I think she told me that I picked out a jingle on the radio, you know, whatever the jingles were in those days, and just picked it up and played it. And most of I started out liking tunes. And then it was a short period where I really loved cowboy songs.
Really?
Yeah, I like cowboy songs, you know. And I think I still do once in a while. I heard Bing Crosby sing a cowboy song. I kind of like that. And then I heard Bing sing his regular things, and it's okay. But he did a couple of cowboy songs around that time with John Scott Trotter's band. And then he did a couple of Dixieland things with his brother's, Bob's band. I like those tunes. Then I heard Harry James' band. That was an early favorite. And then I heard Benny Goodman, who I loved, and I still like him, you know. He's still a favorite.
I hear big bands in your playing. I mean, there's...
Well, yeah, but strangely enough, they're not my favorite. I like Benny's small bands better than I did his big band. But I like, don't get me wrong, I like the big band. And from there, Artie Shaw loved Artie's band. Loved it, because it's so melodic. The tunes that he played in both the regular bands and the ones with strings. And then, of course, I started to hear Count Basie and Prez and Duke Ellington. Wow, what a... You know, what a master, what a genius. Mm. Love Count, too. I love his piano playing.
You do some Basie tunes. You do, would you do Tickle Toe for Us, which was a Basie Lester Young thing? And it's sort of like Vladimir Howe is playing Stars and Stripes. You play every note in that arrangement.
No, not really, no. In fact, I haven't played it lately. I'll probably stumble all over it, but here goes. That's right.
Thank you.
It's amazing. It's hard to believe one person was doing that. Seriously. You had Big Band experience yourself.
Yeah, when I was really young, I played with Woody's band until I was drafted into the Army. Hmm. And when I got out of the Army, came back from Korea, and Charlie Ventura called, and this was with a quartet. And after Charlie, I think I was with Gene Krupa's little bands for a while, and with Zoot Sims and Al Cohen, Stan Getz for a little bit, and Zoot Sims and Al Cohen, and then a long, long time with Bobby Hackett. Those were all small bands.
Who do you like to play with? I mean, you never need a bass player. You barely need. You don't need a drummer.
Oh yes, I do. Yeah, you can't make up for the loss of timbre. I mean, I don't have to go down and play those notes, and the bass player gets a much better sound for those notes than the piano does. And I love working with little bands, and if I won the lottery, I think that, first of all, I'd get a little pad in Boston. I really would like to spend my last days up here in a bachelor-type apartment, you know, and I'd like to work with a little band again, you know.
God, people would kill to work with you. I just want to ask you, going back a second, the piano thing, how many pianists... I mean, going back to James P. Johnson and Fats Waller or Willie the Lion, how many pianists have been important to you?
And when I listen to a piano, I love Nat Cole. The reason I like horns better is you can bend notes and everything. Trumpet player, you know, trumpets, I think, my favorite instrument. But I like Nat a lot, Nat Cole. Hmm. And then later...
I've heard you say he was the only pianist who could bend a note.
Piano
what does that mean?
Smear... horn players they can slide up to a note or slide down.
How'd you
smear
certainly
things.
Could.
Oh, and alto players, saxophone players too, of course. Piano player, you have to play a grace note, you know. Play grace notes, but Nat Cole articulated so beautifully. He got a sound out of the piano I really liked. And then afterwards, of course, I was a kid, George Shearing came on his end, and Errol was always there. Always beautiful. And later on, well, Bud Powell, the great bebop pianist. I like them all. I love Bill Evans.
I was going to say, Bill Evans?
Yeah, but I think it was too late for him to be a real influence. All little things. Mm. You know, he was the same age as me, and when Bill went on to pioneer a style, I guess I sort of was almost a young bebopper in my 20s, but then I started working with the older guys, Eddie Conant-type guys, and Bobby Hackett, and I started leaning more toward that music. But anyway, I always loved Bill's playing. And Herbie Hancock, I like them all. But,
Wynton Kelly, do you know him?
Oh, what a piano player. What a piano player. Well, and Oscar, of course. I mean, Oscar's the boss as far as pianistically now, you know. But Wynton had something going. It was wonderful. And Red Garland, that used to play for Miles. Oh, God.
I wish you'd play something kind of in the Errol Garner mode.
I'll play Misty.
Oh, that'd be great. Okay. That'd be great.
Thank you.
Christopher Lydon. This is The Connection. We're sitting with the jazz legend Dave McKenna at My Piano in Boston for this Thanksgiving Connection. That's the Gravy Waltz in the background. When Dave McKenna plays in a club, one of his word-connected song medleys might begin with Kurt Weill's My Ship and might take a maritime route to I Cover the Waterfront. At the Copley Plaza the other night, it led to this, A Ship Without a Sail. Dave, would you just pick a theme, any theme, and let people sort of follow you through a medley as far as you want to take it? Let them guess as they do in your audiences where you're going and what led to what.
All right. Why not?
just in time, some other time, as time goes by.
And Time for Love, Johnny.
I'm biding my time.
But yeah, and A Time for Love, and Time After Time. I made
And Time on My Hands.
Yeah, Time, that was just before Time After Time.
Can I make a request? And I always feel foolish when I do it, but do you ever do black coffee? And
a favorite of mine, really.
Would you play that?
Of course.
Dave McKenna, thank you so much. Our guest, the legendary pianist, Dave McKenna.
Thank you, Chris.
And then there is the fascination of what is called the alternate take. In this case, six of them by Dave McKenna at one sitting. Lucky to Be Me was a tune that Leonard Bernstein wrote with Comden and Green lyrics for his 1944 musical On the Town. Bill Evans and Dave McKenna both recorded jazz piano versions. I asked Dave if he would redo it as theme music for a public TV conversation show in the early 1990s. And he did, again and again, with subtle shifts of tempo, phrasing, feeling. It's a nice demonstration that jazz players never do anything the same way twice, though the music is all inimitably Dave McKenna.
Thank you.
George Hicks and Will Morton were the audio engineers who recorded Dave McKenna for me back then. Paul McCarthy is the editor who rescued these sounds for Open Source. You'll find a complete list of the tunes Dave McKenna is playing here. At the same place, you can also leave a comment about your own favorite or forgotten music to be refound and enjoyed anew at our website, radioopensource.org. I'm Christopher Lydon. Thank you, Dave, and thank you out there for joining us.